There's something you should know about Mutter. Smell that! The only time of the year where Muslims have a date every night. There is a fine line between haram and halal. The meat of a lamb is halal, unless you don't take the name of Allah while slaughtering the animal. Then it's haram! And a man and woman knowing one another is lawful. Unless it's done outside of marriage, in which case, it's haram! You see, the institution of marriage is there for a reason. And the moment we don't embrace this institution, we're bound to suffer. Mariage is one of the momentous blessings for a couple to have. But what if, whether due to not having a good enough financial status, or for whatever reason, it is not suitable to get permanently married? You know what permanent means, right? It means until you die. Sometimes it is better to go into a halal, blessed relationship under a multi-marriage contract. A multi-marriage will terminate after a specified time.
And where is the multi? I don't see no multi here.
Why does this translation look slightly different? If you marry them for the appointed time, you must pay their dowry. Let's try and get back to the Arabic here.
What's this word, istimta?
If Allah wanted to say the word marriage, why didn't he use the word nikah? And if the word nikah is translated as marriage, then
what's this word, istimta?
You see, in the Arab times, this was known as a specific type of marriage. Arabs of that time knew this marriage as a temporary, mutually understood marriage contract. Imam al-Ja'far considered the Quranic verse the basis of muta. He said, the verse proves muta's permissibility. And when this verse was revealed, the companions knew exactly what it was talking about. Abdullah Mas'ud reported, we were on an expedition with Allah's Messenger, and we had no women with us. We said, should we not have ourselves castrated? He, the Holy Prophet, forbade us to do so. He then granted us permission that we should contract temporary marriage for a stipulated period, giving her a garment. So don't castrate yourselves. Get married, even if it's only temporarily. So Sunnis and Shias both agree that the verse mentioned does in fact show the permissibility of mut'a marriage. But then some also maintain that the verse was subsequently abrogated. And they offer three arguments to prove their point.
Number one.
They point to this verse. But there's an issue here. This verse was revealed in Mecca before the verse of mut'a was revealed. The verse of mut'a was revealed after the Holy Prophet had migrated to Medina. I mean, could it be that Allah abrogated a verse and then established it? Bit of a paradox there. Something that doesn't exist in the first place can't be abrogated.
Number two.
Some come forth and say that a woman who is taken in a mut'a marriage is not a legitimate wife. They argue, for example, that if she were a legitimate wife, then she would inherit from her husband. But in a mut'a marriage, there is no inheritance. After all, the verse of the Holy Quran says, and you shall have half of what your wives leave behind after they die. And that's true, but this is a general verse, and there's no reason to assume that it doesn't have certain exceptions, just as there are other exceptions too. An unbeliever cannot inherit from a Muslim, and a murderer cannot inherit from his victim. Al-Razi quotes from Ibn Abbas, he was asked, is mut'a fornication or marriage? He answered, neither the one nor the other. The questioner then asked, well, then what is it? Ibn Abbas replied, it is mut'a, just as God has said. He then asked, do the husband and wife inherit from each other? He answered, no.
Number three.
Others yet come and ask the question, what about the child born out of a mut'a marriage? That child will be illegitimate. Therefore, the marriage is illegitimate. Well, who said that a child born from a mut'a marriage is not legitimate? Poor thing. In mut'a, the bed is legitimate, so the offspring are also legitimate. Imam al-Ja'far was asked, if the wife becomes pregnant as a result of mut'a, to whom does the child belong? He replied, quite simply, to the father, i.e. the child is legitimate just as any child born from any marriage. In Sahih Muslim it says, Allah's Messenger came to us and permitted us to contract temporary marriage. In another place it says, there came to us the proclaimer of Allah's Messenger and he said, Allah's Messenger has granted you permission to benefit yourselves, tastamti'u, i.e. to contract temporary marriage with women. So mut'a has its own legal shari'i rulings as per the Quran and the Ahadith, and it was practiced by Muslims during the lifetime of the Holy Prophet. Its roots are from Islam. Any children born from a mut'a marriage are legitimately born, and the verse of the Holy Quran about mut'a was never abrogated. So when exactly did mut'a become a controversy and a taboo? When did people decide they stopped this practice? Well, it was in the time of the second Caliph, when he gave a sermon banning the practice of mut'a. He he said, two mut'as were practiced during the time of the Holy Prophet, i.e. temporary marriage and mut'atul hajj. But I forbid both of them and will punish anyone who practices either.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's not get sectarian here.
Sunnis and Shias are brothers.
Nay, they are more than that. They are one.
This is a necessary discussion which requires a little bit of sensitivity. While respected Sunni Muslims still follow the verdict of Umar the second Caliph, Shia Muslims maintain that the authority to change even a fraction of the divine religion is not in the hands of anyone. Altering the divine religion of Islam could have profound impacts on the Ummah. In fact, the fourth Caliph, Imam Ali, said, if Mut'a had not been prohibited, no one would have committed fornication except the wretched. And yet, you have Muslims, Sunni and Shia, coming up to you and saying,
you believe in Mut'a? Well, would you have your sister or your daughter do Mut'a?
Let me think. Would I be okay with my sister or my daughter doing the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet?
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
A sister entering into a marriage is a blessed thing, whether it's a temporary marriage or a permanent one. And this is far, far better than something cursed like fornication, which leads to suffering and pain. Concerning the Quranic verse, whatsoever mercy God opens to men, none can withhold, the Imam also said, Mut'a is a part of that mercy. Every commandment of Allah has wisdom and mercy behind it. Fornication has no rule. On the other hand, Mut'a has strict rules. It ensures that when a boy and a girl meet, the first thing they think of is Allah. They think of the rights of the other person. With respect, with dignity, and responsibility, they approach one another.
But how have we become? We talk, we laugh, we get to know each other, we shake hands, we like do everything that there is to do. Then we say, oh, you know what? Before we cross this line that I've drawn myself, let's get married.
Damn it, do mut'a first, then get to know each other. Become lawful for one another, then laugh and talk and do all the silly stuff you want to do. And the Holy Quran says, O you who believe, do not forbid the good things God has made lawful to you. Do not exceed the limits. God does not love those who exceed the limits.
I know you're watching, you're thinking, ah, mut'a is very good, yes? We go do mut'a now. Go for it, but like, stay balanced, you know? Like, you don't want to screw everything up, you know what I mean?